I was thinking of the period of British rule as a whole. I was wondering whether they tended to make efficiency an end in itself and didn't have bring much drive and imagination. But this is turning your mind back to the first few years.
The first few years. Well, I can't. It's difficult to say. I'm probably a little biased because we had people like Freeman, who were, well, I mean, of course, one of the people almost.
Yes.
I
was not thinking of Freeman might prove my point because he came up against the Secretariat.
Yeah, he came up the Secretariat. Yeah, but I think there probably was something in what you say, but.
You see, one civil servant who just went out after the war, he says he went out just to get a job. He was surprised to find that the civil service didn't, that in the civil service, Freeman was a rather unique sort, you know, in his own way.
He was a unique sort, yes.
Well, he had expected the civil servant service to be more full of Freeman, you know. He was surprised. And he raises as a criticism that there were more of that type.
Or you couldn't get people of Freeman's type. Freeman was an exception.
What was his particular?
His particular qualification was that his idea was to work for the people. A civil servant you couldn't expect the average civil servant to do what Freeman did. Freeman was really almost an eccentric in that way. Generally speaking, I found the idea that the civil servants did their best in an official way for the people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there can be any question about that.
Oh, yes. Did you feel that they were rather too aloof?
Definitely they were too aloof. Too aloof. But they did their best.
This traditional point about the European club being a bad
I don't think there's any question about... I'm not against... I've never been against a European club, though. Tamil clubs or Sinhalese clubs or burger clubs, it doesn't worry me, but I have always been against not the European club, but the idea of the European being aloof. The European, when I went out to Ceylon, the European was aloof.
Mm-hmm. Well, Stace, I don't know whether you know him.
Oh, I knew Stace quite well.
He has written his memoirs, and he makes it one of his major criticisms. He refers to A to aloofness, and as a part of this, in connection with the whole community. Arrogance too.
There was aloofness and arrogance.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I first went out to Ceylon that Ceylonese were not welcome at the Godface Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And I and a few of the leading burger people used to go to the Godface and insisted on going to the Godface.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one of my good European friends, whom I used to play cricket to, the feeling was so great that, and I was also a bit independent and arrogant myself, that I remember a good European friend of mine, I met him at cricket, and I caught him going along the road. I was driving my car and he was driving on in his motorcycle and sidecar. And I wouldn't wave my hand, and he had to wave his hand to recognize me first.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember him doing so and being very ashamed that I it was too late for me to recognize that was my attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously his attitude was due to the fact that they were not merely independent, they were arrogant. Mm-hmm. Arrogant and aloof.
Yes, and would you say that this was more characteristic of the planter than commercial men? Than the officials.
Not of all planters.
Mm-hmm.
Some planters,
mm-hmm.
Certainly of the commercial people.
Mm-hmm. What pleased me was that when I made Stace's point to several of the people I met recently, people like Newham and Harrison, and others also agreed, you know, several of them were objective enough to see it.
Yes.
And but on the other hand, I can I can sort of bring forward four or five cases when officials themselves were arrogant. There was a chap called Forrest, who was in the police. And Lushington, he was in G.A. Gaul, that was in Dad's time.
Yeah.
That's Bose, certainly, Freddie Bose, this is before your
time. Before my
time. And I should have thought that Daubig is as Clifford could be.
I have rather pleasant recollections of Daubigin. There was, I as magistrate of Farnera used to have to take the salute in police. And there was a European superintendent of police who was in charge of the police. And Daubigin considered that this superintendent would not treat me with the respect he should have done.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously because I was not European. And Daubigin went out of his way to make him pay me more respect than I was entitled to.
Oh, I see. That's very interesting. Now, this is just an impression that has come, I think, partly because of the 1915 riots.
Yes. No, I think Daubigin had the right idea.
Mm-hmm. I raise aloofness is of some relevance when it comes to this political development, because it meant that the secretary didn't have the pulse of the nationalist political thought. Would that be correct?
Well, I think it was inevitable because they were inclined to be aloof,
mm-hmm.
so that they must have lost quite a great deal by being aloof.
Mm-hmm.
This is not true of all of them, but generally speaking, it must be so.
Didn't Stanley make an effort on his own part to come down?
He did, yes. He did. That's the impression I got.
But what did he strike you as a governor? Was he as a man?
I didn't know. I didn't know him well enough to really pass an opinion, but it did strike me that he did make an effort to come down.
I had an interview with Harry Center yesterday, and he had some very interesting things to say on the education system when he arrived. And apparently he found the education department full of a lot of diehards. And there was lots of controversy before your time.
Yeah, before my time that would have been, yes. No, before my time. I can't give you any.
Didn't you feel that the education system itself was too oriented to English language and too not sufficiently technological?
Well, it is, isn't it?
Mm.
Yes. When I say still is, now we become singly speaking, but I think you could very well avoid it. To get jobs, you have to know English, so I suppose the education had to tend that way. And of course, we're not even technological yet.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that was
I know social pressure had something to do with it, but I was wondering whether the government could have sort of somehow taken charge of the educational helm and steered it
in one direction or the other, the case may be.
Yes, and less of this white-collar tendency.
Yeah, but then you must remember that it wasn't very easy for government because the white-collar mentality was ingrained amongst the Sinhalese people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I shouldn't be surprised, still ingrained there. I don't know, I haven't been so long for many years, but in my time, it was ingrained amongst the people,
mm-hmm.
the white-collar mentality. I remember my brother who was a teacher, St. John Farnera, he wanted to do something on that line, but and he had a boy who was the son of a carpenter. But the carpenter wouldn't have it. He wanted his boy to become part of the white collar brigade.
this is a sort of final question. I wonder whether you knew people like, I'm sure you'd have known Dyson and Sudbury and some of the other GAs.
I knew Dyson. I didn't know Sudbury. I knew Dyson.
Mm-hmm. Did he strike you as being a sort of typical GA or particularly?
I think fairly typical GA. He was
able?
He was a... No, I wouldn't say he was...
Very able.
Very able.
Mm-hmm.
But he was a very honest,
mm-hmm.
hard-working GA who would do his duty.
Mm-hmm.
He was, of course, also aloof. But I don't think that was due to the fact that he was European. He was naturally a...
He was a reserve type.
A reserve type.
Mm-hmm. You would get that sort, certainly. Philipson?
No.
Mm-hmm. And... with regard to the choice between choice of Woodburn over Newnham, would you say that Newnham was the sort who did not get on with the politicians?
I already can't tell you whether I'll tell you. Couldn't tell you.
Well, that's about it,